Okay, thank you. And many thanks to the organizers for the invitation to this conference. So I'm very glad to be here. So after more than 10 years, once again. And also I've realized that it is actually the only theory talk on physics beyond the standard model, in particular precision calculations. So I also feel that I have got a special honor. So what I'm it's a very wide field. So what I'm going to talk about are a few selected issues. In particular, I want to cover the electric precision observables, which have an indirect sensitivity to non-standard particles through the virtual effects of possible new physics. Then I will a little bit talk about precision studies of Higgs particles, which are sensitive to the electric symmetry breaking and need not be standard, so we can also have non-standard scenarios, and even the Higgs particle which has been found may be a non-standard particle. And finally, there is a large field of direct search for non-standard particles, which also requires precise calculations in order to verify possible signals to identify the origin or the theoretical frame if such a particle would be found. In particular, if we consider specific models, then this would mean that we can constrain or determine the parameters. There are many options to go beyond the standard model in calculations. So one example is also to do effective field theory calculations and parametrizations of the unknown. The other way is to restrict oneself to specific models which allow a systematic way of calculation of higher orders. These are renormalizable models in extensions of the standard model. So this is my outline. I will discuss electric precision observables with two doublet extensions of the standard Higgs vector, general two doublet models, and the supersymmetric version of the two Higgs doublet model, which is the MSSM, the minimal supersymmetric standard model. And then also focus a bit on the Higgs bosons in the MSSM and cover, if I have time, depends also on the chairman, to a little bit on SUSY particle productions at the LHC. So starting with the precision observables, if we look back in history, then we can state that these class of precision observables have been a powerful tool since the days of LEP. They test the compatibility of the models. In the history, it was the standard model with the experimental precision data. And since the LHC discovery of 2012, we know that there is a Higgs particle, and we have already a very precisely measured mass of this particle. So the standard model precision observables are uniquely determined, and so this means that constraints on PSM model parameters have become much more severe. So if we look at the set of precision observables, I want to be very brief because this has been covered extensively by Iris Freitas already. Briefly recall that we have the muon lifetime in terms of the Fermi constant. We have the mass, width, effective mixing angles, and so on from the Z boson observables. And we have the masses of the vector bosons, W, Z, top, and the Higgs mass from hadron colliders, and we have from low energy, the G minus 2, and also, of course, the electromagnetic alpha. And exploiting the quantum structure of all kinds of standard processes, we are sensitive to internal particles, which are Higgs bosons, and if we look for supersymmetry, we also have supersymmetric particles in the loop. And this was the famous delta R loop corrections in the standard model originally here in the muon lifetime gives a correlation between the Fermi constant and the vector boson masses. And this can be used, this relation, in order to determine the W mass in terms of the other precisely known parameters. Independence of the heavy particles, which in the standard model was the top and the Higgs, and this was the indirect constraint from the data. Now these calculations, as Iris has explained, they are complete at two loop electroweak order at alpha alpha s mixed with QCD corrections, and there are also more beyond two loop, more calculations which have to do with the universal terms associated with the rho parameter, both from the electroweak and the QCD side. This has already been discussed by Iris, so I want to be brief here. Only mention that there are two large combinations of quantities that appear in this delta R. One is delta alpha. This is the shift in the electromagnetic fine structure constant originating from the light fermions at the Z. So the running of the fine structure constant, which is typically a 6% correction. And there is the famous rho parameter, which can be calculated from the vector bosons at the vector boson self-energies at zero momentum transfer. And this gives you, in one loop order from the top part, the famous m top squared contribution, which has almost a 1% correction at the one loop level. And if you look at this from the structure, it contains the Yukawa coupling, so m top over v, which is the alpha t, the fine structure constant associated with the Yukawa coupling. And those terms which in delta rho, which are beyond one loop, are two loop terms available, and three loop and four loop of this type involving the Yukawa coupling and the strong coupling, because always gluons can be exchanged in between the quarks. There are also reducible higher order terms which can be incorporated by a resummation of delta alpha and delta rho. This has been studied already more than 25 years ago. So we have this delta R quite under control. Similar situation for the Z boson resonances, where we have effective couplings for the vector and the axial vector of the Z to the fermions, and the effective weak mixing angle, which can be defined as an effective mixing angle at the Z peak. Also here, when you look in the lowest order relation and higher order contributions, there's a big part which is associated again with the rho parameter. So it also enters here this sine square theta effective. And also in the sine square theta effective, two loop calculations are complete. And these universal terms, of course, that's why they are universal, also enter this as three and four loop contributions to delta rho. So this is the picture which we have got in the standard model after the measurement of the Higgs boson. Input is completely determined, so we can get precision observables here. There are these examples, sine square theta effective and the W mass, theoretically and experimentally. You see that there's a beautiful agreement. In the W mass, there is a slight deviation of about one sigma. Now let's go beyond the standard model. So this is the basis on which all the extensions of models that are considered extended models are built on. So we take the standard model part and then additional part which come from the extension of the models. So the two doublet model, also introduced already and presented by Iris, just summarized here in terms of these parameters, there is quite a freedom in the choice of the quartic and the quadratic terms. I could restrict myself here to the real parameter, so there is no intrinsic CP violation. So you can go to the mass eigenstates from the components of these doublets, neutral and charged components by rotations. So you have two angles, one angle beta, which is determined by the mass, by the ratio of the two vacua. There's another angle, alpha, which is associated with the CP even Higgs bosons, capital and small h. And there is also a CP odd, A, and the pair of charged Higgs bosons. And all these parameters here appearing in the potential can be expressed in terms of the masses of these Higgs bosons. Beta, alpha, and this is not sufficient. There is still one more free parameter, which conveniently is chosen to be this quantity lambda 5 here, or lambda 3. So you have essentially the masses, the mixing angles, and a free parameter lambda 5. So the vector boson masses are determined by the square sum of the vacuum expectation values. The couplings of the Higgses to the vector bosons are proportional to the standard model. The couplings of the fermions can be arranged in different ways, type 1 and type 2. Type 2 is the one which appears in supersymmetry, so up-type fermions coupled to phi 2, down-type fermions to the phi 1 doublet. So then you have this typical structure. And there is a special case which is of particular interest, namely when alpha is beta minus pi half, then you have that the little h is standard model-like, or if you take alpha equal beta, then the capital H is standard model-like, and the other ones have non-standard couplings. Now this so-called alignment limit is of particular interest, as I said, because the Higgs particle which has been found is almost standard model-like, up to 10, 15 to 20%. So one can, for higher orders, can make a simplification that one assumes that one is within this limit and identifies one of these particles. So we take it here as a little h with a standard model particle. There has been a long history in precision calculations for these two doublet models, starting already in the mid-80s, continuing over in the 90s. This was one loop. Then there have been also two loop improvements in the recent 5 years. And there is some results which I want to show. They are from a diploma thesis of Stefan Hessenberger, a student at MPI and Technical University in Munich, and an ongoing PhD thesis. There is a paper which is not yet on the archive, but will also arrive soon. So what do we have to do? We take for the set of precision observers the full standard model part with all these higher orders that I have presented, and add the complete one-loop non-standard part with these extended Higgs sectors and higher order terms as far as they are available. So here are the Higgs contributions to the self energies, which is the most important part. And in this alignment limit, where we identify one of the neutral CP even bosons with the particle at 125 GeV, is taken, and then the others are separated from and are additional non-standard Higgs bosons. So when you look then to the W mass, you have a picture like this. As I said, the experimental one sigma range is a little bit off. This is the standard model prediction, because the Higgs is fixed, everything is fixed. This is the one sigma range from the world average. And this is for the two doublet model, where you have a bit of mass splitting between the charged and the neutral heavy Higgs bosons. And then you see typically with a mass splitting around 50 GeV, you can get into this one sigma range for the W mass, so you can improve even the standard model. And the dominating term, which gives this quadratic dependence here in this mass splitting, is again through the delta rho. A similar picture we have for the sine square theta. You also see a quadratic dependence again through the delta rho. But here the situation is different because the experiment and the standard model prediction are perfect. So it's almost at the central value. So you have here a constraint. So it's not necessary to improve it. But you find here that around 50 GeV mass splitting, both the W and the sine square theta can be within the one sigma range. So there is a large part of parameters in the mass space which are compatible with both measurements within one sigma. So that means even improving the standard model. But this was one loop. And of course, higher orders need also two-loop calculations. And we know from the standard model that delta rho in particular, the dominating one-loop term, has important higher order calculations. So again, here we have the same situation. We have the top Yukawa coupling contribution, the Higgs boson contribution, which comes from the Higgs boson self-couplings. These are the most significant two-loop terms. And they can be obtained in the so-called gageless limit, where you put the gauge couplings to zero. This means also vector boson masses are zero, but the ratio, which is the cosine of theta w, is kept constant. There are these new parameters, tangent beta and lambda 5, which enter at the two-loop level. They are absent at the one-loop level. So you get sensitive to a new part of the structure. And so you have the two-loop Yukawa contributions everywhere where the top Yukawa coupling enters. Here are also counter terms with the Yukawa contributions. And then you have this self-interaction, non-standard self-interaction terms, Gortig on the triple coupling together with the corresponding counter terms. And you see here there is a two-loop contribution to the rho parameter with a sensitivity to tangent beta. Here are different values of tangent beta, and you see when tangent beta becomes bigger, it becomes very large. Whereas this blue curve here is the standard model prediction. Now you may say, okay, this is non-perturbative because the two loop are bigger than the one loop terms. But of course this is different here because for the tangent beta dependence and this lambda 5 dependence, it is the lowest order. So they appear at one loop. So this is a new feature which comes here. And we have to keep in mind that a variation of delta rho of 10 to the minus 4 induces a shift in the W mass of 6 MeV. So this is quite substantial here. And it would constrain the parameters here quite significantly. So when you look into the W mass, one sigma range, these are these colored regions here. The shaded area is the one which is excluded by unitarity and vacuum stability constraints on these two doublet parameters. And you see here there is a much more significant restriction here to this of the parameter in the lambda 5 and tangent beta plane. So let me briefly switch to supersymmetry. If we make the two doublet model supersymmetric, we get on top the contributions from the charginos, neutralinos, fermions, and this extended Higgs sector, which have the same particles, but they are constrained. There are relations between the masses and couplings, and we have only an input, which is the mass of the MA for convention and tangent beta. And the other constraint is that one of these CPE and Higgs bosons are the standard ones, is the standard one. So formally, the Higgs contribution of the self-energy looks like the two doublet model, but now the couplings and the masses are constrained, as I said, that they include here higher order contributions. I come to this. And the Higgs couplings are taken as not as a tree level, but as effective couplings, because these are non-negligible. And then on top, we have all these extra loops, Suzy particle in the self-energies, vertex corrections, and box diagrams. Also here, a long history. In this precision observers, again, the first was in the mid of the 80s, and then there were one loop corrections, and then later on, around 2000, then the two loop improvements came into the game. So we had here two loop contributions to the rho parameter from the supersymmetric alpha S and alpha T. And also the others, the Yukawa higher order terms have been calculated. And then finally, there has been a new analysis on the W mass with the constraints of all the direct Suzy searches from LEP, not from LEP, from the LHC and the W mass and the Higgs boson constraint. And this is the plot, which is very general. So this line here, the red line, is a standard model. And this green point here are the MSSM with this constraint on the Higgs boson mass. You see here that there is a 3 GeV error associated. This comes from theory. I will discuss this in a minute. So this is essentially the theoretical uncertainty of the prediction. Here is assumed that all the squarks, gluons, and so on are heavier than 1200. Only the third generation is above 500. Now, if you also make the spottom heavy, then you see here that you are still within the one sigma range. There are enough points which survive this cut. And if you make all the charginos and sleptons heavier than 500, you have still enough space within this one sigma range of the MW, whereas the red line always indicates the standard model. I will skip this. You can invert the hierarchy. It's also possible so that the Higgs is not the lightest, but the next to lightest Higgs boson. Now let me come to the Higgs bosons itself. So the Higgs potential here is constrained. The quartic terms are given by the gauge couplings. So you have only three parameters from the soft Suzy breaking, M1, M2, M3. You have the vector boson masses given by the square sum of the vacua. And then you have only two free parameters, which are this M3 and tangent beta. And when you go to the mass eigenstates, then you find that the A boson masses can be traded for M3. So the conventional input is tangent beta and MA. And then all the other masses are predicted. So you get the charged Higgs mass, you get the CP, even neutral Higgs boson masses in terms of these parameters. These are three-level relations. But there are substantial higher order corrections where the dominant one loop term comes from the Yukawa sector. So it has this log term, m stop over m top times top to the fourth. But also this gives the most prominent shift. It's about 50 GeV upward shift at the one loop level. But also all the other sectors contribute, and they are not negligible. So we have an observable here in terms of the Higgs mass, which is sensitive to all the still unknown SUSY particles. And testing the MSSM requires precision calculations for this Higgs sector as well. So this looks like the follow, as follows. So we have here these higher order terms, and these higher order terms come essentially from the top and stop Yukawa interactions plus the whole rest. There is a public tool which I will use here for the further discussions, which is the code Fine Higgs. This has been used also by the Higgs cross-section working group for the SUSY search, for the SUSY working group, but there are of course many other such kind of tools which have different strategies. So the strategy here of Fine Higgs is to calculate the self-energies renormalized. This is, we'll skip, it's the on-shell renormalization. So they are finite, you add them to the propagator matrix and you get the masses as the poles, the real part of the poles of these propagators. And when you diagonalize it and you put Q square equals zero, which is the effective potential approach, then you come to the effective mixing angle, so you have some kind of improved Born approximation. So the self-energies so far here are complete at one loop with all the Q square dependence, and the dominant two-loop parts which are associated with the Yukawa coupling and the strong coupling are also included. So the importance is clear why we need these calculations here, because we have such a nice and precise experimental measurement of the mass, whereas on the theory side, the estimated theoretical error is 3 GeV. So this is embarrassing when you compare this. And since this I got from Sven Heinemeier here, since this Fine Higgs is adopted by this working group and considered to be the code which gives the most complete implementation of higher order corrections, one has still to do some work. There is a working group, it exists for about 2 years now, but there will be a next meeting in Madrid in June to improve on these calculations. I want to flash here only that there has been a lot of work that have entered. And what I want to here to show you a little bit explicit here is the resummation of the large logs. SUSY mass scale over M top at higher next to leading and next to leading level in order to go to very high SUSY mass scales. Because this might happen if nothing is found at the LHC. So people are worried and they go to higher and higher scales. And so then you have to think of these large logarithms. So when you go to the Feynman diagrammatic approach, then you have the advantage to get the full mass spectrum, but you miss these higher order logs. And the other approach is within effective field theory to consider the renormalization group for the standard model Higgs below the SUSY mass scale, take the standard model as the effective theory, and then you get the mass of the light Higgs from the running of the self-coupling of the Higgs from the SUSY scale to the top mass scale times the vacuum expectation value. So both have advantages and disadvantages. The advantage of the effective field theory is that it can be extended to very large SUSY scales, but it yields only the light Higgs boson self-energy and has has not the hand on the self-energy, which would be required also for discussing matrix elements for production and decay. So the best world would be to combine the diagrammatic and the effective field theory calculation. And this has been done. Here, when you look at the Feynman diagrammatic calculation up to two loop, here this is only restricted to the Yukawa and strong interaction sector. Then you have this one and two loop logs. And there is a non-logarithmic term always. And this can be obtained only from the explicit diagrammatic calculation. So you don't get it from the renormalization group equations. So now when you combine this renormalization group equations with these explicit calculations, then you have to be very careful that you don't double count these logarithms. So you have to subtract the logs which appear in one and two loop order in the fixed order calculation, and then add from three loop order on the new terms which come from the solution of the renormalization groups. So also here there is a student involved, Henning Bahl. So his master thesis was on the resummation also on top of this alpha t, alpha s on the electroweak logarithms, and to introduce additional mass scales with, associated with the Gluino and with the electroweak Gaetschino-Higgsino sector. And the effect of this resummation here is quite substantial, as you see. From the alpha s, alpha t, you get from the fixed order, these are these purple, to the resummed one, which is this one here, you get a sizable shift when you go in the mass scale up to in the multi-TeV region. And it also has a large impact on constraints on the SUSY parameters from the Higgs signal itself. So when you include now this resummation also from the electroweak sector, then you see here that for the this XT is the mixing parameter in the stop sector for unmixed and for mixed. So there is again a little shift upwards. So if you enter the multi-TeV region. And also introducing an additional threshold gives again another shift of about 1-2 GeV when you go to the high mass scale. So further improvements, which is ongoing work, is now going to the next to leading by 3-loop RGEs. And considering also the 2 Higgs doublet model instead of the standard model as the effective low energy theory. So I succeeded to have 3 minutes for the last section, which is an example of direct particle productions of non-standard particles. So when there is, of course, one of the most prominent items is the search for supersymmetry. And we have heard this morning also that about the experimental activities. So it's also fair to show what theory has provided in order to get to the required precision. At the LHC, the colored SUSY particles, quarks of the first 2 generations, of the 3rd generation, they are produced through the strong interaction predominantly. So these have the highest cross section and they are the most interesting parts. So this is a relatively updated plot from a review, Boschensky et al., which gives kind of the state of the art, including the next to leading order and beyond next to leading order presentations for the various cross sections as a function of a common SUSY particle mass scale M here. Now the next to leading order, well, leading order has a big uncertainty. And it has also is not very precise because these next to leading orders, when you calculate them, they give an enhancement, give a K factor of 1.3, just up to 1.5. Though there is a substantial increase. And this has been accommodated in a code which is called Prospino. And this Prospino code is somehow the tool which is also used by the experimental analysis. So rescaling the tree level with a K factor which comes from the Prospino code. But still, this has a big uncertainty, which comes from the scale variation essentially, and therefore one has also to go here beyond the leading, next to leading order. And there has been a lot of work within the last 8 years or so improving this. Of course, there is not yet a complete next to leading order available, but since the most dominant parts are the soft gluon emission contributions, so these are a subclass that has been then considered by various people here. And you see here, this is a plot from Moch and Langenfeld. When you go from the next to leading order, the blue curve here, to the next to leading order, you see here that there is a substantial reduction of the theoretical error. But there is also a shift again of about 10% or 15% upwards. So it's quite necessary to have this under control. But when we talk about the next to leading order, QCD, then there is also electroweak contributions. They are of the same, typically of the same size. And therefore also here has been quite over the last 10 years, quite a substantial effort. I only show here explicitly here in these plots, the example of squawk pair production, but they have also been squawk production being considered and so on. And this has a relatively involved structure when you go to the next to leading order electroweak contribution of the type alpha alpha s. So you have mixed loop diagrams with QCD and electroweak stuff. And then you have interference of QCD one loop and electroweak three level. And so you need a lot of real radiation also, not only photons, but also gluons, in order to compensate all the infrared singularities. And on top there is quark radiation also, another process at next to leading order that appears. That's an example here of the production of the lightest stop quark, stop anti-stop. Not sure if you can read this. What is shown here is the mass of the stop soft breaking parameter. This is about roughly the mass of the lightest stop. So starting here at 500, 800, going to 1500. The green contribution here is the QCD next to leading order. So this is the ratio next to leading over leading order. So you see here the 40-50% shift. And here this blue curve is the electroweak contribution, which rises with the mass. So it can go from 10% for light top stop up to almost 30% if the stops become heavy. And when you add them, you get a substantial shift. And you may ask here also, where is this from? And then you have here a breakdown of the electroweak contributions. So this red curve, which is about 6 or 8%, is from glu-glu fusion. And then there is this rising piece, the blue one, which comes from the photon gluon fusion. So there is a new process which appears here. This is the photon induced process, where you have a photon from the proton. And here for quark pair production, there are these kind of three-level diagrams. And this gives you this increase. So what you need are PDFs which have QED evolution, and these PDFs do exist. There is this NMPDF group. They also have a set with QED evolution, and there is also the photon distribution here. But there was also in the past from MRST from 2004, but these are the most modern ones. They include also data from HERA, the newest TERA analysis, and from the LHC. But there is one drawback, namely this PDF for the photon has a huge uncertainty. And this depends here on the mass of the squark which are produced. So this is for light squarks around 1000, you have 75% uncertainty, and this increases almost up to 100. So what is then the message out of this? The message is that when you have contributions from photon-induced initial state, so then you have here to assign an uncertainty which is almost as big as the effect itself. So you have, can be a factor of 2, it can also be go down by to 0. So it's not a claim that at the moment that one should include this also for the experimental searches, but one should increase the uncertainty. One should put on top of the QCD uncertainty this 20% or 10% plus minus uncertainty which comes from the electroweak sector, mainly through the photon gluon fusion. So this at the moment is the situation. I was told that there are attempts to improve this, but I don't know how the situation will develop. For the moment, it's the situation as it is. So I'm over time, so I just want to show you here my conclusions without going into the detail again. It's only that when we wait now for the signals in the direct searches, where we need all these calculations in order to identify and correctly interpret the signals, then we so far have been in the autotox part. But of course, this may also happen that we open a completely new door if this 750 GeV thing enters, and then we will see if all this is still of use. Thank you very much.
We do. Wolfgang, on this issue of delta MH and MSSM calculations, how much lower do you think you could go in the next couple of years from 3 GeV to what?
In which
Delta MH from MSSM.
MH. You mean from the 3 GeV down to?
To what number? Is it 1 GeV?
1 GeV at least is the aim, so within the next 1 or 2 years.
Because I remember from discussions with Sven and Georg, it looks like it's not just the missing high order corrections, but actually results of two groups in disagreement at about that level.
But this is essentially, it has to do with different. These are details of the randomization, so the MS bar versus on-shell or DA bar, and then there is a lot of uncertainties at the moment, but this is something which can, with more effort, can be overcome. So this is from both sides the effort. I see no principal obstacle.
So you think 1 GB within a couple of years is achievable?
This is the aim, and I would not exclude it.
Other questions?
But I should say there was also a kind of some people with other codes, they made a strong claims that they have from their approach, they have already 1 GeV. But when you look closer and when you make comparisons, then you see that it is not true. So then it's an underestimate of the error. And if you are honest, then you always land with this 3 GeV.
Okay. Other questions? So I have one. When you're producing particles through this, photon PDF off of a valence quark, it's going to be fairly forward. And that's not an area that the experiments typically have the greatest sensitivity. Is this protecting us against this uncertainty or not?
I'm not sure, because you mean that there would be these produced particles would be in the forward?
They would tend to be going forward because you've got a valence quark on one side of it.
I'm not sure, because we had made some, I don't remember now because it's some years ago, we also looked into distributions. Mm-hmm. And also the distributions were substantially affected by this gamma. It's also something, I should say here that these kind of calculations when you look at this, you only consider the production process. Now, when you have here particles that are produced, or this, then they decay. You never see the SUSY particles directly. So the quark decays. Well, in the simplest case, it goes to a neutralino if it is stable, the lightest, the LSP, and goes to a quark, which gives a jet. So you have a jet plus missing energy. So you have an electroweak decay also on top here, and this then you have to calculate the distribution of the missing energy or the jet, and this of course can again be different.
Okay.
So this is strongly affected also. So you have to include the decay as well. I skipped this because of lack of time.
Other questions?
So going back to the 2x doublet model, can you go back to the plot? There's a kind of a colorful plot that I wanted to understand better. Yeah, on slide 26, I think.
Which one?
I think it's go down to slide 26. I think I saw it when you were. Yeah.
This?
Yeah. Right, so can you, so I just want to get a narration of what this plot is showing me. So here you are fixing the masses.
Now this is an example.
Right.
So you have here a certain set of masses with a kind of a mass splitting here between the neutral and the charged one. And then you have, this is always this alignment limit. So assume that these masses have been measured for some, when you want to get then these parameters here, lambda 5 or tangent beta, then you can compare the W mass with this, with the prediction of the model through the delta R.
So given, I'm trying to figure out what we measure and what we're predicting. So given measured values of the extra Higgs doublets,
Yeah.
And
so you, this is an example which means in that case you have to know these masses.
And then I have to know ahead of time, and then I know what MW is.
The MW is the one which is, well, you know it now, it is 80 something plus minus 15 MeV.
And this is
the world, the experimental world average. And then you can calculate the MW from these input parameters, and at two loop level, lambda 5 and Dungeon Peter enter. Mm-hmm. So your prediction on MW does not only depend on the masses, it also depends on these parameters. Yeah. And not at one loop. One loop is insensitive. And at two loop, you see that you have quite a substantial restriction here. And these other plots is when you consider three-level unitary and so on.
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, maybe to the PDF people. I mean, in view of this very large uncertainty you mentioned in connection with the PDF of the photon PDF, this must arise in other electroweak corrections, I guess. I mean, are there any prospects for improving that?
Yeah, like in the Anand PDF, so we are working on a new determination of the photon. So there will be like an intermediate release with basically the 3.0 fit and a photon reweighted with the same data and a bit more data from LHC. And then there will be like a proper fitting of the photon and the other PDF all at the same time to be expected from, I don't know, in winter, like let's say after Christmas, I think. So the perspective is that this uncertainty is going to be reduced at some point after Christmas, thanks to the, first of all, a better theoretical formalism in the fit, because, you know, at the moment, we have done the best we could do at the time. So just fit all the PDF at the photon while reweighting with, and there were basically only three data sets that were sensitive to it. So, you know, this is the best you can do without modeling the photon as radiated from valence quarks. But I think, yeah, so we are working on it. Some people in the collaboration are working on it. No, at the moment, so the only data that we are the high and low Mastrellian data and the inclusive WNZ. Yeah, some direct WW and some photon data themselves. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
One more, Lance.
So what would you say is the implication of MH equals 125 for the mass of superparticles in the MSSM? Of course, there's a huge parameter space if you don't take any other constraints. So maybe we could just ask, suppose you vary the stop mass and then vary everything else at the same mass. What do we learn from this value of MH?
Yeah, actually I had a plot here, but I have thrown it out because I thought it's too long. Then it was really a plot for the when you assume that you have this stop mixing. So this is always something which is very important. For unmixed stop, you are quite low. And when you switch on mixing, then you get with the Higgs prediction into the right range. So you have a substantial constraint of the mixing parameter. And the variation with the other parameters is also there, but it's not so strong. So this is the strongest. And if you allow this 3 GeV, you have a wide band. If you take it away, then you have a very narrow. Then you can be very very clear, you say, if this is excluded, this range, then together with some high scale of electroweak particles that have not been seen, then you can even rule out the model. So that's really important.
Okay, let's try more time.